come right out and say, baby, I'm stoked on you. It's not just any kind of way, baby, you got me freaking like
a... This is Pirate RC, and I'm outside of Across the Street, which is near Twig's Coffee House in San Diego. And I just saw Jason McGinnis play. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Well, thanks for taking the time. El Paso today, right?
Yep. Just flew in today and then came straight from LAX down here to San Diego to play. So
yeah, that's not a fun drive either.
No, it's not. It was a whole lot of traffic, so I was getting all frustrated.
Exactly. Yeah. Welcome to California.
Welcome to California.
I just want to ask you about the live Jason McGinnis experience. We were talking a little bit earlier about just you were using a computer. Can you talk about the equipment you use to back you up, basically?
Yeah. Basically, what I do is I produce and engineer all my own stuff out of the home. And so what I do is I cut all the tracks that are actually going to be on the album that have everything on it. And then I'll go back in and I'll do a live edit where I'll cut out, you know, a lot of the lead vocals and the guitar parts and then remaster it and put it back into one session to where I can just kind of play along with everything that I've already recorded. A lot of people ask me, is it all loops? You know, you're not really a musician, you're just playing a lot, you know, and I have to tell them, well, I mean, you have to listen to what you're listening to, and everything that you hear coming through that computer is stuff that I've recorded by myself. So,
great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically, for people who weren't here, it's basically Jason up there with his guitar, and then it sounds like a whole band. So
yeah.
It's a pretty cool experience. But
it's
the
electroacoustic experience in a way.
Yeah.
You know.
You do have a band, though, that you perform with when you're back home.
Yes, I do. Isaac and Jesse Guerrero, two of my greatest friends. The first musicians I actually met in El Paso. And what's great about those guys is that we clicked. We had this chemistry right off the bat, and you don't find that very often. And we're at a point now where we play along, and we don't even really have to even look at each other anymore to communicate. It's just all, we just kind of read each other. So they're great guys, my musical soulmates, if you will.
So do they write anything with you?
They do actually. On the U-Turn album is all my songs. But on the next album, we're actually going to put it out as McGinnis. And it's going to be songs that we've collaborated on.
Oh, great.
So they write some amazing stuff. Jesse writes some really, really cool stuff on the guitar, so.
And you guys have been recording the past couple of weeks, right? That's
yeah.
What you're up to?
I've been writing those songs, working on those songs for close to probably 2 years. I'm very, very picky about songs, and if I don't like the way they're coming out, I will scratch and start over completely. But I basically had to record and finish the album in a month. And so I've been locked in what I call the hole, which is my little my little home studio, just recording the last month. So I've been a tad isolated, so it was awesome to come down here and drive to San Diego and look out my window, and there's the ocean. And then,
right.
You know, get to see some outdoors.
When do you think the album's going to be out?
This first album, U-Turn. I mean, it's out already. We're working on different distribution things on how to get it out. But, you know, basically people just go on the MySpace, which is myspace.com/JasonPMcGinnis. You know, they can send me an email and we'll go ahead and do the PayPal thing and just send it out that way. But, you know, there are some deals in the works where we can hopefully get it out into some stores and then possibly sell it, you know, digitally over the website as soon as it gets up.
And then your new recordings, are you looking at those coming out?
You know what, I'm not sure on those, because I just finished the album last week, and so I kind of had a week to get ready for this this tour in Cali. So as soon as I get home, you know, I'll be looking at, you know, doing some more promotion, and then back in the studio with Jesse and Isaac and working on the new track. But I'll keep all that updated on the MySpace. So.
This is your first time playing in San Diego, you said, right?
Yeah, it is.
Is it your first time here at all? Too?
No. I've been to San Diego a couple times. I love it here. I love the vibe here. I love El Paso to death. Yes. Love it to death. It's my hometown. You know, it's where I got my start. I just love the vibe here. I'm a beach bum. I love the ocean, so I like that atmosphere.
So you're going to have any time for any kind of sightseeing while you're in Southern California? You're here about a week, right?
Yeah, we definitely are. We're definitely going to have some leisure time. Oh, there's a couple days where we're just going to kind of hang out at the beach and kick back and take a little vacation, because we've both been, the lack of sleep in the last month has been astonishing, although I'll put it that way.
So. Yeah, sometimes you realize what you can live without.
Right? Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I, you know, I was in the Army for 4 years, and I don't think I even worked as hard when I was in the Army.
How do you think that experience actually in the Army has shaped what you're doing now, and just maybe has it added to the discipline? I mean, when you're starting off as a music artist, even though you've been doing this for a couple of years, yeah. it's kind of tough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's definitely an uphill battle, because there's just so much talent out there, so many talented people, especially these days. What we're listening to right now, as a matter of fact, you know what I mean? So I was a drummer in the Army. I got a really, really good musical education at the Army School of Music. I had some amazing instructors. Musically, I just grew by leaps and bounds, and it was all the downtime that I had being an Army bandsman that allowed me to really start working on my songs. When I was not doing anything while I was at work for the Army, I was in one of the practice rooms there writing, just recording stuff, and you know, some of the frameworks for some of the songs that you heard tonight actually came from that experience. But
that's
the
great.
Discipline was definitely there.
Yeah.
There we go. Definitely. I don't know how I did it.
And just in reading a bit about you, one of your big influences is John Mayer, right?
Yeah.
And so when you look at someone like him over the past 5 years, he's grown a lot musically, and he's definitely gone and said, you know, I'm going to master the guitar, for example, and that's
yeah.
it. So you're playing guitar, you're playing the drums, you're playing all different instruments. Is there an instrument that you're kind of looking towards just being a complete expert at, and that's it?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing that I really want to focus on is the voice. And obviously it's a little hoarse right now, because we all can tell. I played last night in El Paso for about 3 hours straight. So anyway, I think there are two parts that can either make or break a band. And I think the first one is the drummer.
Yes.
Because if the drummer is off, it doesn't matter how good everybody else is, which is what I like about my computer.
Yeah, totally.
Because he never gets off beat. And the voice. And my voice, since I first started singing, and I've been singing since I was real little, but I didn't sing for a long, long time until I started writing the songs again and I started to pick it back up. And just really started listening to a lot of Jeff Buckley.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I love Jeff's voice. I just think it's one of the most musical voices I've ever heard. And I want to be able to do that. Obviously, I don't have the high range like Jeff has. My voice is very baritone. I really just want to focus on you know, getting that voice just really solid. Because like I said, I have Jesse and I have Isaac, and I've always been a rhythm type guitar player. You know what I mean? Quite honestly, I've never really been completely interested in being a lead guitar player. I like the sound of really full chords and lots of strumming and rhythmic strumming. I like the simplicity to it. So,
that's cool.
But John Mayer, obviously, I mean, for crying out loud, that guy from the first album, and I'm sure he could play like that before, but never really brought it out until, you know, but he's just phenomenal.
Well, and it's good to see, though, that you're saying, okay, my instrument's going to be my voice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Jeff Buckley's definitely someone worth looking at.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And looking at your songs, a lot of them, they seem to be very personal and also very self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Is that your nature in general, to be kind of self-deprecating? And
yeah. I'm always real honest. You know, I don't have a problem with being honest about my shortcomings, things that I've struggled with, because everybody goes through it. I just think a lot of people are kind of afraid to admit it, and especially a song like The Best. Like I said before, I played it's one of the most honest songs I've ever written, and the song is just all about my struggle with my humanity, and I think a lot of people can relate to that, as far as, you know, we all have a tendency to beat ourselves up at times, and I think that's the one song in there that speaks to me the most, because it, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but I get real emotional when I play that song, and I've actually cried on stage playing that song before. So. A lot of the other music, again, is very honest. I write a lot about the human spirit. I like to be very positive. I get real sick and tired of hearing music that talks about death and booty shaking and drinking and, you know, all that type of stuff. I just don't think there's any substance behind it, and I think society really needs some more meaningful art, you know, in order to grow.
Miracle's a pretty inspirational song, I mean, by name alone, but then when you listen to it, what was that song actually inspired by?
Okay, that's a great question, actually, because this song has a good story.
Oh, good.
It's like a perfect
probably about, say, a year and a half to 2 years ago, and I might be off, but I'm not a big magazine guy. Let's start off right there. I don't read a lot of magazines, okay? But I just happened to have a copy of the Time magazine that covered the bombing in London. A long time ago. I think it was in the subways or something, where it was just, I mean, this really big, you know, terrorist attack. And the picture spread in that magazine was phenomenal. And basically, you know, I was really touched by all the pictures of people who were kind of crawling out of the rubble. And there was one picture in particular, a man and a woman that were just kind of leaning on each other, black guy and a white lady, and they were just leaning on each other and crying and helping each other walk down the street, and the picture was just amazing. And I remember looking at that and thinking back on, you know, a lot of things that I've been through and a lot of things that the world has been through, and just, it's absolutely amazing the type of things that people can get through when they come together. You know, the terror that they can force themselves through, and how amazing the human spirit can be in times of tragedy. Yeah. That is a miracle to me, and that's basically what the song was about. You know, I see people believing in miracles. It's like a perfect poetry of the soul, is the first line. I see hope in the eyes of a struggle. It's a simple definition of strength. You know, just to see, you know, the strength that people have when they come together and when something like that happens. And so that's kind of how that came through, and you know, just surviving each moment by each moment.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite songs, by the way.
it's great. Have you had a moment that has kind of inspired you? Can you think of something just in your own life that you've gone, oh, wow, you know, that was pretty incredible that happened and I'm still here? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I went through some really hard times, you know, just some struggles, different habits that we won't go into. Finally coming out of it at one point and just realizing how beautiful life actually is and how we tend to try to destroy ourselves a lot. And, you know, I'm no saint. I never have been. Coming out of something like that definitely opens your eyes and really makes you see who your real friends are, and that people are the most important thing. Your relationships with other people are the most important thing. Nothing else means a damn thing without that. So I think that was one of the biggest things.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I kind of drew out of that song, too.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those songs that people can listen to and say, hey, I totally get what this guy's saying, which is pretty cool to be able to do that.
It speaks to a lot of different situations. It really does.
Sure. And you talked about stoked being a word you're trying to bring back. I'm trying to bring rad back.
Rad.
So
exactly.
I'm stoked about rad.
Stoked about rad.
I thought we could just.
We need to bring back
those
hippie words, man.
Exactly.
Those surfer words. I'm stoked. No, I just think it's the coolest word in the world, you know? Stoked. It's like my life motto. I want to be stoked about everything. I try really hard to be positive and definitely go through my down times, as many people that are close to me know, but for the most part, I think I'm a pretty stoked type of person. So if you're listening to this, use the word stoked on a regular basis.
Very important that we are all
yes.
Stoked, and we use the word stoked
exactly,
to describe how we
exactly.
feel.
Exactly. Do it for Jason. Say stoked.
Yeah. If you could play any musician in a biographical movie about them, kind of, we've seen, you know, Johnny Cash, and we've seen a couple other stories come up lately. Who would you play?
Wow, that's a good question. It's already been done brilliantly, but Jim Morrison.
Cool.
I love The Doors to death. Don't necessarily agree with all the lifestyle choices the man made, but I think he was a brilliant poet and way ahead of his time. And just such a complicated, interesting type of person. Actually, one of my degrees is in acting.
Oh.
And so I've dabbled in El Paso every now and then and done some different things. But no, I just think he would be just a great character to play. It's already been done, obviously.
Yeah.
I honestly, I think Val Kilmer is the reincarnation of Jim, to be honest with you.
You didn't actually do any covers tonight, but is there any song that you love to cover?
Oh, man. I love covering Dave Matthews. I love Snow Patrol. One of my favorite songs to do is a song by a Texas band called Blue October. And I remember those guys coming to El Paso when they were nobody, you know what I mean? And real good friends of mine down there have opened up for them and stuff. But they did a song way back called Breakfast After 10. And I honestly think that it's the only, like, woman-hating song that guys have to hold on to, because women have, like, every Alanis Morissette song ever written.
Yeah, her except whole catalog.
For, yeah, except for after she went to India, you know what I mean? But
Right. But she'll be back on that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Somebody, you know, somebody's going to piss her off again, and we're going to get another album. It's one of my favorite ones to do, because I honestly think it's just, it speaks to me, because it speaks to a lot of situations that I've been in, you know, relationship-wise, and things like that, so, I also enjoy doing Foo Fighters Unplugged. We do Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. But I'd say Breakfast After 10 is probably one of my most favorites.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so I have 5 quick questions about your first, like 5 firsts, basically. The first time you went to a concert, what show was it?
I was 14, and I went to see Megadeth, and Korn opened up for Megadeth, and I was a real big Korn fan when I was a very angry teenager,
Yeah. Which
is why I think everything is so positive for me right now. I get, you know, 180, but I actually got sent to the hospital. I got picked out, you know, I'm not a big guy, and I was, you know, at 14 years old, I was a scrawny little thing. And some big biker guy in the middle of the biggest mosh pit I've ever seen in my life decides he grabs me by the seat of my pants and the back of my shirt and throws me.
Oh, man.
And I go like 3 rows down at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado, and I slam into the guardrail with my chest and flip over the top of it and land on my back on the ground. And they had to take me to the hospital. And I mean, all I had was a concussion, but yeah, interesting first concert. Needless to say, I didn't go to another one for quite a while.
Yeah, I'd say your parents were probably like, no.
Yeah, they were a little upset, to say the least.
So what was the first album you remember that you owned?
Phil Collins.
That was my first concert. Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I think it was the first. It was the one with In the Air Tonight.
Yeah.
On it.
Okay.
It was that one, and then it was a Beatles album.
Nice.
And I can't remember which Beatles album it was, but.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What was the first song you learned to play?
Elderly Woman Behind a Counter in a Small Town by Pearl Jam.
What was your first live performance ever? So it could have been when you were like a little dude, just.
Oh man.
You know, with your class, whatever.
Yeah. No, I was 5 or 6 years old. When I was that old, I was a pretty cute little kid. Blue eyes, blonde hair, you know, I don't know what happened to me as I grew up, but they would always give me the solos in the church choir when I was growing up. So I was just this little dude, you know, singing like, you know, like those church, those boys choirs where they have the really high boy, that was me. And so I think that was the first time I ever actually performed live that I can remember, yeah.
All right, cool. And what was your first paying gig, the first time you got paid to play, basically?
My first paying gig was at a bar called Hemingway's in El Paso, Texas. Love that bar. It's the bar that gave me my first chance to play live. I just was kind of hanging out there, you know, and told the guy, well, you know, I play a little bit of guitar. And he's like, well, why don't you come in and play? And so I did. I actually did a free gig there so we could hear it. And they liked it. And I started playing there. And I've been a regular there for probably about 4 or 5 years. So if you're in El Paso, you got to go check out Hemingway's. Hemingway's in the garage. They tell me it's never too